What's good, Internet, and welcome to Session 77 of Super GG Radio, where friends chat about video games and all things adjacent. I am your host and future Frog Fractions fanatic, Alex Arona. Okay, you wrote that thinking I was going to mess it up, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
There we go. Okay. With me this week, as always, is the Origami King himself, Eric Getty Gettinger. What's good, Getty?
Hey, Alex, you know that the Origami King is the bad guy, right?
That's why I said it. Bam. Bam, and you said I was going to call it a Zelda-like.
Yeah, it is. But for real, I'm going to need like 15 minutes to talk about the water design in this game because it is tight.
I had heard about that. I wanted to play the game just based on the water physics alone.
Yeah. You should play it. Right now.
I don't have enough time right now. But what we do have time for is our special guest, Alex G. from Gaming Fix.
Hey, hi.
We've been trying to get you here for a long time.
Yeah, now we have Alex G and Alex Go. Oh, so we have Alex Go, yeah. There we go.
Yeah. Boom.
We can just consolidate.
There we go. I'm really glad having you. Glad we could finally schedule something out. And, of course, you saved us with co-host Joel being out of power.
Yes, rest in peace, his everything right now.
He's living on the frontier right now. Like, the updates we get from him are hilarious.
He's slowly becoming more man, more beast than man.
Yeah. What was last night like?
I've seen a lot of...
Something like life here has become to be too hard to live without a refrigerator. That's all I want. No, you can't have cold food anymore.
Well, the next thing I saw was I saw Itchy, Hungry Itchy.
What?
I didn't see that one, but I did see...
That's Resident Evil.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Original.
There you go.
Yeah, I saw lots of candles from Joel. So,
well, this week we spam more betas and early adopters. Not necessarily true. We have less betas. Enjoy the, I don't know what the CW weather means, Getty, in the news.
I don't know. You wrote this, right?
I did not. And the backlog goes Microsoft Retro, kind of. But first, early adopters, where we play alphas, betas, and games that we had to pre-order to get beta access. Hey, be happy I didn't try to get the Tony Hawk beta. You had to get the Tony Hawk burrito from Chipotle. I missed that one.
That's so sad.
They get the new Tony Hawk Pro Skater remake of 1 and 2. There was only 2,000 people could get the beta code, but you had to get the Tony Hawk burrito, which is chicken and guac.
It's not bad, I guess, but...
Yeah,
I guess.
I saw some pictures of it. It hella looked like chicken and guac.
But it was only 2,000 people, so we did not get codes for the Tony Hawk Pro beta.
What would you have done? Buy three of them?
No.
You just needed buy one?
You get one code per burrito, and so they were probably pretty limited.
You'd buy three. So the logic there, right?
No. I would not buy you a Tony Hawk burrito, Getty.
Wait, but now I'm even more confused. Is it per store?
It was 2,000 globally.
Total? Okay.
Mm-hmm. So there was no way we were getting that one.
Then how does that work with time zones? Because if, like, Chipotle opens on the East Coast...
Getty, come on. Man, you're really carrying this segment.
Boo. Nope. Boo.
So this is what I've been missing out on.
First game is Carrion. Carrion. We played this for the early adopters previously, but now it has gone 1.0 and is on Game Pass. So me and Getty took time to kind of play through this. Did you get the chance? Have you heard of Carrion, Alex?
Yeah, we talked about it on Fix, and I've heard some stuff about the ending, but have not heard exactly what happens. So,
okay. But did you get a chance to get your hands on it and get the feel of it?
Not yet, but I'm fully aware of what it is, and boy, howdy, is it gross.
Yeah.
It's a little unsettling how you're this big, honking beast of blob tentacles and teeth. Yeah. Moving around. It's a really fluid movement that your little 2D guy is running from place to place. It's very easy and to control, grabbing and ripping off vents and shifting things around. It's unsettling how quickly you get into the feel and the groove of just murdering dozens and dozens of people.
Eating dozens and dozens of people. And then picking up their corpses and whipping them around into other people. Yeah. Yeah. I like this game a lot.
I saw a tweet from the developer that had them saying, no, you can save people. And he picked them up and put them in the water and they just drowned.
Yeah. You could do that too.
Yeah, so you can just mass amounts of torture. And it's a pretty linear game going from place to place. But this is kind of why I tossed this on there, just because me and Getty had a offline conversation.
Off? You mean off of, like, Discord? And because I thought that we were still on the internet when we were talking, so.
It doesn't matter,
Getty. Yeah, it does. It's a huge difference.
Okay, so Carrion is pretty linear, but if you step away, if you stop playing and come back to it, you do anything to kind of like move away from the initial process, the game will lead you down and you'll go down a path, say, left. But if you start the game at a save point and you forgot that you were supposed to go left and you go right, you can just lose hours going in circles and circles trying to figure out where you're supposed to go, when, like, backtracking. Like, I was just here, but I don't know if I was supposed to go up or down, and it's...
So does
it kind of took me, the game, like, down a couple points in my head of just getting that problem.
Did you figure out where you were supposed to go? Or are you still looking?
But I had... No, I finished it, but I had to look it up online, and that was my problem, is that I felt like the game did a really good job of leading me until you stop for a second. Like, the game is roughly, what, 4 or 5 hours?
It's probably 4 or 5 hours, but it gates you. It gates you with the different abilities that the giant blob can collect. So you get your pretty straightforward, you have this, like, cry-out ability that allows you to see where save points and eventually where other bodies are so that you can consume them. There's, like, an Ironhide ability. You get the bull rush so that you can run into things. Eventually you get these, like, spines that grow out of the carrion husk and you just, like, forces items through. That was the only way that I could figure to beat the giant mechs. Because there's not a lot of bad guys in this game, but the couple that there are can really cause things to go sideways quickly.
Yeah. I've heard people speak ill of, I think, drones or something.
The drones can suck, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way that you're supposed to handle the mechs is they're just two pieces. So there's the top half of the mech that you can just rip. You have to rip it off, but they can still attack you. Then you reach in and rip out the person.
I mean, you could go even more complicated than that, and you can mind control the person inside of the mech.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah. I think there was one part where it made you do it, and then after I realized I could do that, that was, like, my main go-to to kill people, was just to inhabit their bodies.
And while the abilities did gate you, that's kind of what I mean, though, is that at where I was, which was roughly two-thirds of the way through, I had done so much of the map that losing the path made me backtrack everything.
That right. really and sucks.
Yes.
There is no in-game map, right?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Cool.
So that's kind of why I say that it's better either to do it in a single sitting or kind of write down go left or make it you're at a point where you know where the next path is. There isn't another way to go. You're like, I have to go that way. Save it and up to end for the night.
You get to mementos yourself.
You kind of have to. That's the thing, is that you have to. Or else, again, you get lost in the whole thing. Just the plot's gone.
Nice tattoo on your arm that says, go left. Why do I have this? What was I doing last night? Oh, yeah, I was playing Carrion.
I've thought about that. That'd be a sweet tattoo. Go left.
It'd be something to explain. It'd be a good conversation starter.
Agreed. The other part I just wanted to touch on briefly is that Carrion, while you live the fantasy life of being the alien in Aliens, just destroying and murdering all these scientists in an underground lab, going through the vents, it doesn't ever make you feel heroic. And in fact, the music is nothing but suspenseful. So when I was playing, I felt myself getting scared and uncomfortable and like oh God, what's going to happen? Wait, I'm the monster. They should be afraid of me. Okay, there's no reason. But the music kept building and building and being more suspenseful. So I thought that was kind of a neat touch that gave me like conflicting feelings because I felt uncomfortable and scared, but I knew that there was no reason for that to be.
Yeah, I think that the story had, because there are some flashback scenes of where you get to see how the beast was uncovered, but that's, it doesn't really go as far into depth as I would like to. I want to know more, and basically, even with the ending, I felt like the ending was kind of anticlimactic, but we won't wreck it for other Alex. G.
No, it's fine. So, how is that lore kind of presented? I assume there's dialogue going on between human characters, but is there any other thing? Like, are you finding audio logs a la BioShock?
But there's no conversations that are going on. There's no words in the game spoken, or I guess the only written words are on the screens that you encounter that say like the zone that you're in. It's conveyed through like a dream sequence. The carrion beast will climb into like a, I don't know how to describe it, like a mechanism, and then it will take you to a human that's doing something, and you kind of have to piece it together yourself to try and figure out, like, okay, clearly they're at some ruins here, he's exploring, and they come across something. But that's about as in-depth as it goes at any point.
So the ending, I felt like I understood the anticlimactic feeling, but it just got me excited for the prospect of them making another game. That's what it built for me. Also, the flashbacks, I don't even necessarily think they were lore. If you watch it, you'll kind of see that I don't think it gives details about how the creature came to be. I think it's just another story with the creature.
I think it's them finding the creature, but I don't know. The last dream sequence, it doesn't help you because it makes everything more confusing.
Yeah. Always the best lore.
Yeah.
So that was Carrion. Now, Alex.
Hi.
I listened to Gaming Fix, and I have to do it a little bit sparingly, and I got to tell you why. It's because after I listened to Gaming Fix, I have an ongoing note in my phone of these are the seven games that they mentioned that sound all incredible that I have to now like look into and buy. Wish list, do whatever I can because these games all seem amazing. One of them I want you to talk about, Necro Barista.
Heck yeah. Yeah, Necro Barista is a really special one. On our podcast, we sometimes do spoiler casts of games that we think have really special stories. Recently, there was Final Fantasy VII Remake. We did Danganronpa V3 for any... I don't know if either of you have ever touched it, but does that have a special ending.
Does it end the series? Because I know that they've been cliffhangers the first two. I haven't played them. I know enough about them to know kind of what's going on, but does 3 give an ending?
It gives an ending that makes it feel like if they made another one, that it would be disingenuous.
Okay.
So they very much end it. And I think for some reason they did a Kingdom Hearts one because they're crazy people. But we recently did one for Necro Barista because its story is just absolutely phenomenal and is the kind of thing that can actually have real world effects on your real world life in some ways because it's somewhat insightful and makes you introspective. So like that's probably sounding like big words, but it totally did happen for me. And Pat has come across in our group chat a couple of times being like, I still think about this like weeks later.
It really sticks with you. So is it a visual novel or what is the gameplay components if there are?
Yeah, so it's like 80% visual novel, but not visual novel in the sense that you traditionally think of visual novel. Like, you think, oh, this is a static image, and then you got text on the bottom, and you're reading it, and that's the entire interaction. You click next, and then the character slightly moves. No, it's not that. It's very kinetic. It's a bunch of 3D models on screen. They're animating. The camera is moving. You have some agency over the camera in the scene, so you can move it a little bit here and there. And all of the text is part of the environment. So, like, if a character is really upset and screaming, the text will be shaking a little bit and, like, coming at you. And if they're quiet, it'll just kind of be subtle and, like, fading into the background a little bit, stuff like that. So it's, you're very much involved in each of the scenes, not like a traditional visual novel. And then the other 20% is you actually do get, if you're playing on PC, WASD controls, and, like, you're looking around with a mouse and you're clicking on stuff, and it kind of becomes a walking simulator where mm-hmm. you're, like, walking up to objects and interacting with them and getting a bunch of side stories. So, yeah, it's probably about an 80-20 split between those two.
Okay.
Okay, and then what the story follows a barista who lives in the plains between, right?
Exactly. And also in Australia. The game is it is profoundly Australian in all of the best ways. But yeah, you nailed it. You're introduced to this character named Maddie, and she is a barista at a cafe, like you said, in between the planes of life and death. So it makes this really interesting scenario where you don't know, like, when she's talking to characters, sometimes you don't know if the people she's talking to are dead or alive, because as a part of their universe and a part of their lore, you're not supposed to ask someone if they're dead, because it's rude. But they kind of appear there as just a person. It does get clear with the main characters during the game, but with, like, some of the side stories, they legitimately leave you with the question of, like, hey, were these three people that were involved with this really well-written side story, were they dead or were they alive? Huh.
And overall, it comes to these character moments that kind of make you think about your own life and what's going on there and how you kind of feel about certain situations.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is it comes across, especially at the start, as a very lighthearted, very funny game. And it is very lighthearted and very funny. Like, it made me laugh out loud a lot. But as it goes, the further you get into it, the more you find out it's kind of a story. Well, obviously, it's a story about death. But it's also a story about failure and, like, kind of abusive relationships in an interesting way. So it's really heavy, despite the fact that it comes across as so lighthearted.
Hmm. This is kind of, I've been kind of trying to find something that's a little bit that I can, like, dig deep into.
Yeah.
That, you guys have praised this might be your game of the year.
Pat has definitely said it has suddenly snuck into his number one spot, even like over some pretty big games that he's been talking big things on. And for me, yeah, I had a two-way tie going for my game of the year for quite some time and then played this, and it just kind of snuck in and is like, yeah, it's right up there for number one, I think.
What are the other two?
You'll have to listen to the game of the year podcast or the Gaming Fix podcast to find out.
Isn't that the famous 6-hour one?
Yes, it is.
Awesome.
Maybe awesome. You can be on that one, Alex.
Yeah, just be on the phone. Well, we'll get into that a little bit later, but that has actually strange repercussions for an international group as yourselves.
Oh, yes, it does. And funny enough, that's how we started. That was our very first episode, was a 8-hour podcast. We can get into that story later if you want, but yes, we do have a lot of time zones. We have one of us in Japan, one of us in the UK, and then a bunch of people between. So we often start around 6 in the morning for one of us.
Oh, that would be Getty's nightmare.
This is my nightmare.
All right, so that was Necrobarista, something that I'm going to get into. It's on my wish list. I think that's up next.
Which wish list? Steam? Switch? Yeah. PlayStation?
Is it on Switch?
It's coming to Switch.
There you go. Now you can get it on Switch.
Do I wait for Switch?
Yeah. Play through some of the other games that you have.
But this was way more interesting than Halo.
Oh, I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but Beth might.
Let's see. Necrobarista on Switch. Is that I wonder, is that, what's the date on that? Do they have a date?
Are we doing this?
I'm not sure.
Launches on Switch. Hold on. In 2021. Damn it. Okay.
Steam it is. All right. Steam it is. Hey. Steam it is. Maybe if you play your cards right, it'll be your Christmas gift this year, or your Christmas punishment. Were you doing gifts or punishments? I can't remember.
I mean, you're the one who always seems it's punishment. I give good games.
Hey, if you're looking for a punishment game, I see one on this list that we can definitely talk about.
Ooh, are you talking about Avengers?
Yeah.
See, this guy knows how to transition.
Yeah, that was much better than what we usually get.
Okay, so I played Avengers. Alex, did you get the chance? Did you play Avengers at all?
Nope. No interest, okay. But we talked about it for probably about an hour.
Damn.
It's just such a weird thing, because the first 2 hours are very core. What did I tell you it was, Getty?
You named like 15 different games. You said this is Warframe, but it's not Warframe, but it's not Destiny 2. Because
no,
Destiny 2
is actually decent. No. I was thinking it's a clicker. The first 2 hours are clicker.
That's what it is. It's a clicker.
There's nothing to do. It's just straight hallways, and then it goes into a combat arena, and then hallway again. And the hallways, they don't give you a chance to fail the quick time events. They stop time. That's it. There's no fail state.
It's basically just waiting for you to advance, like hit press F to pay respect kind of style.
They did a boss battle where your character jumps up midair and you're gonna punch him, and I'm like, oh, it's exciting, and then it's like, press this button, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna press that button. There's no like timer. I'm looking on the screen for a timer, and there was not one, and then it just stopped, and the music kept going, but my guy was just frozen there with his fist in the air. I'm like, okay, I guess I just hang out.
It's disappointing. Some of my favorite cutscenes end in Kratos getting kicked into the earth.
Yeah,
because I'm not like fast enough.
And that's funny. And that gives you agency to feel like you have to do it correctly. You have to jump into there and get that person's back. You're doing these moves so that your character, you are the character and you want to do this stuff. But no, and the way I put it to you, Getty, was that it's like you go to your friend's house and he's got all these cool action figures. And you start to play with them, and then he goes, wait, no, hold on. You can't do that. You have to play it this way. Your character needs to do this thing cool. No, let me do it for you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how the first 2 hours felt, was all this cool stuff was happening, but they kept taking control away from me.
And there are games that have done that well. Like, Asura's Wrath did that really well.
Yeah.
And, like Until Dawn to an extent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll even say The Order, was it 1886? Sure. Or whatever that one was, that...
Yeah,
that took away a lot of stuff from you, but I still felt like it looked real pretty and the story was interesting to a certain degree.
That game was notoriously bad at railroading you, though. It was like, looks like you can only go this way, and then you'd be like, nah, man, I want to check over it. Like, nope, not even possible. It's like somebody did a really poor job of putting walls, like the invisible wall. You're like, but there's stuff over there. And sometimes you'll get that in games where you're, like, walking one direction. It's like, nope, better go back around. Paper Mario Origami King did that to me a bunch.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, all right, time to go do this. And then the story would start to progress, and it would be like, oh, you can't go that way. Hey, Mario, you got to go do this. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to bed, Morgana. Shut up.
So... do you all have any like really strong affection for the MCU or the comics or like Marvel comics or just Marvel in general?
Me and Getty are real big comic book fans and big comic book nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, the MCU's, it's all right. I feel like there's been way too much hype built into it. And this game is just trying to piggyback on what a lot of people should get them to play. And I think that that's probably part of why the game is designed, at least in the demo that, or the beta or whatever you want to call it, that Alex here played, is because they want more people to get involved, or they're trying to, it seems like a cash grab at the end of the day.
Yeah. Especially considering that there are moves in the game that are built based off, like they're taken shot for shot from the movies. Iron Man's heavy combo, he does the movement from one of the movies. Or Bruce Banner Hulk has lines from the movies. So they throw in these comments and these jokes here and there without them being the right person or having... say, this isn't the movie. They don't look like the characters. They don't act like the characters. Not the voice by the guys. But we're going to throw in a couple of things here and there.
It's good voice actors, though.
Mm-hmm. Nolan North.
Nolan North and Troy Baker and, yeah.
Travis Willingham. Yeah.
Yeah. I have heard good things about Kamala Khan, though.
Yeah. She's a good fill-in, like an audience surrogate as somebody who, being in there, it is all is a fanboy of all of the heroes and is just like a fangirl and is super excited about, oh my god, all these characters, all these people I know I grew up with and I wanted to be part of it and now is. It's, yeah, just the once you get past the two-hour intro of straight corridor and clickers, it kind of becomes just Warframe, which...
You also said Anthem.
Yes. And I have reasons for both. I wasn't just spitting out loot shooters.
No, because we had that huge debate about the difference between Anthem, Warframe, and Destiny. So,
yep, and that's why I don't want to say... The only thing it has in common with Destiny is that everything is based on power level, and your gear gives you more power level. But your gear doesn't show on your characters, so there's no... It doesn't do anything. So, I mean, you get character, you get better stats.
That's fine. But my like gripe, like if you're going to collect cool loot like that, it's kind of fun to see it cosmetically as you go and do stuff. So at least Anthem had that to an extent, and I know that Warframe has it too.
So the reason why I say Warframe or Anthem is because the worlds that you go through when you do these missions, you get a map, but there isn't. Like, dude, I got a big ice field map. It's like a big, there's trees, there's snow, and there's all these different areas and bunkers and all this stuff. And once the guy, the computer in your ear, Jarvis, says, there's a box of gear over there. You should go explore it. And I was like, that's a little on the nose, like saying, oh, there's gear over there. Okay, fine. And I go, and there's buttons. You have to find the buttons to open the door. I open the door. Then the mission just goes straight into another facility, and you get combat arenas, puzzles, go through, and you finish. But the big ice field map had one bunker. There was a couple other bunkers and areas of interest in the map, but there were nothing. There was no point in there. They just had it populated for no reason, and they didn't do anything.
So that's the Anthem effect right there. All of it exists, but you're only going to... Destiny 2 does the same thing. Like, on the missions... But you could always just go to the zone and explore it. So, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, well, Destiny, I remember finding where, you know, what was it? You used to go and collect resources, or you used to go and find hidden enemies and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Warframe, it's pretty empty. And that's, I understood that, because part of it is that you're just running through. In Anthem, you're flying through. But yeah, there's nothing else really to explore. So it just kind of felt like I was just on these straight... It felt like a hallway, despite it having a big open field.
Do each of the characters feel relatively distinct? Like, does playing as Hulk feel significantly different than playing as Iron Man?
Not significantly, no. Because if with these characters and you're playing online, you can't have that much variation because there's no doubling up of characters. If I pick Thor and then someone online comes to play and say they pick Thor first... I can't use Thor. You can't double it up. So I have to pick a different character. And if I wasn't getting gear for that character, I should at least know how to play it. So you have your shooting. When you're shooting, you hold left trigger, right trigger. So left to aim, right to shoot. Everyone's got a heavy combo, light combo, and a couple other abilities here and there. But for the most part... Everyone's got that set of powers.
I don't agree with that, because there's been other games that have done it much better. Even when you look at... My go-to on this is the game that that never was, Battleborn. There were, 30-something characters? I want to say 20, 30 characters, and each character played differently, even though they had the same... controls like that, but ability sets were much different, and you could upgrade them through the course of a mission to vary yourself even more. You couldn't double up, of course, but it didn't matter because the leveling tree made it a different experience each time you played.
And see, that might be like a joke, but me and you played that game for like 20 hours.
I played it more than 20 hours.
Yeah, you did. Well, you know, again, this this game would be fine by me for $20.
Sure.
All right.
It is $60, though. So
if I gave you $40, would you actually pay the extra $20 to get it then?
Are you going to play it?
I'm not buying multiple copies. I'm just asking if you had $40. No, but
if I'm not going to play this solo, I'm not going to play this solo.
See, isn't that usually my line? Like, if you get me a copy, then I'll play it.
Yeah, I'll play with you. But I'm not gonna buy it and then buy you a copy. If you're gonna buy me a copy, I'm into it. I'll play with you.
See, now you're asking me to spend $100 so that you can spend $20, and I don't think that the trade-off is there.
I'll guarantee 15 hours with you.
That's not good enough.
My time is a premium. Hold on. We're gonna take a break. We'll be right back. Me and Getty gotta haggle. We'll be right back. Hey, news. We got a good one for you. Alex, hit the news.
Hey, news. Life without you would be like a pencil. Wait, fuck. I messed it up.
Yep, that's okay. That's our opening to the news.
No, hit me. Hit it.
Yeah?
All right. Life without news would be like a broken pencil. It'd be pointless.
It's kind of sexy.
Goosebumps.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was sexy. First piece of news, Halo Infinite delayed.
What?
Delayed.
Since when?
Since the last couple days ago. Pushed into 2021. Getty, were you excited about the new Halo?
Who approved this? Who said it could be delayed? What about all the free online multiplayer? How are they going to play for free if it's not out?
I guess you're right.
Well, it's the freest because you can't play it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so free, it's out there and not here.
They're just giving it away.
Just giving it away. Do you guys play Halo, Alex? Nope. Getty?
I haven't played Halo since, Halo 4? When were we in college? Like 15 years ago? 10 years ago?
You're only one behind. That's not so bad.
Yeah, but that's like a decade and a game behind. And there were more than one, I want to say. Weren't there?
I think Infinite 6.
There was Halo Wars 2, if you count that, but that was between them. But either way, this is weird because that means there's going to be no first-party Microsoft
title
or Xbox games at launch. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really strange that they were going to... But again, like, it seems like Microsoft's main play here is to have PC and Xbox games available right away. So if you're not buying the Xbox One X, Double XL, Triple X, what is it? Series X?
Series X or Series S?
Xbox Series One X, S, L, never mind.
It's tricky, SSX.
Yeah.
See, Game Pass does kind of sell it on me, especially with the streaming service, to go back and forth. I currently have my PC in my living room. That's because I live in a small apartment that is one living room. And there's no, like, the bedroom, no. There's no office. It's just one room. So because of that, my PC can hook up to my monitors and my TV. In the case that it doesn't, and I have a bigger place, having an Xbox on the TV, having a PC somewhere else, and being able to go back and forth with save states is enough to me to make it a good high-end product. Now, not having any first-party games, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, and this is a separate topic, but Microsoft's approach to this coming generation seems like they don't necessarily want to sell you that box, because with xCloud and stuff, they're trying to make it so you can play those games wherever you want. Like, obviously, they're saying it'll be Xbox One X versions of the game for the next year, or the first year it's out, but, like, you're not getting that bad of an experience if you don't ever get an actual physical Xbox, which is, I think it's an interesting approach they're taking.
Well, I mean, you can out Stadia.
Yeah, doesn't take much.
Not at all.
It seems like they're not trying to sell you the box. I just, I wonder how that play goes, especially considering that, you know, they got Ori on Switch, right? There was talks of trying to get Game Pass on Switch.
Yeah, they got Cuphead on there before that.
Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of talk about Game Pass on Switch, and then it just disappeared. So I wonder if that deal just fell through.
Or if it will show up again. Who knows? This generation's weird, y'all.
Yeah. And it's just weird that these big deal rumors keep coming up and then just quietly shutting down. Was it Super Mario All-Stars 2? There was a month of just, All-Stars 2 is going to have this and that and this and that, and then it's coming out this time, and then I haven't heard about it in at least a couple months. So I don't know where things go. I mean, obviously, from my understanding, in the industry, everybody's always trying to buy everybody. So when there's a deal of, like, Microsoft might buy this company and this company, apparently that is the case, except for just deals fall through, and then they're like, oh, okay, next thing.
Yeah, totally. You only ever hear about the deals that go through. You don't hear about the ones that don't.
Yeah. I mean, except for famously the PlayStation, right?
Sure.
Nintendo.
Yes.
So they were very pissed about that. By the way, Getty, yes, Halo 5 Guardians, and then there was Halo Wars 2 and Halo Recruit.
And what is Halo Fire
2? See, there's like 18 Halo games that I didn't play.
What is Halo Recruit?
I'm trying to find it. The link only goes, it redirects us to Halo on Wikipedia. So I'm going to say Halo Wars 2 is the only one between Halo 5 Guardians. So just play Halo 5 Guardians and you're caught up.
No, because then I have to play everything. I have to play 4. I only played 4. That was the last thing I played. Then I have to play 5.
Then there's 5.
And then both of the tactics games.
But
Spectre. You forgot about Spectre. Where's that in there?
I don't know what Spectre is.
It's a Halo game. What about all the books? You can be like Brian David Gilbert, read all the books.
Yeah, I have to read the books too.
Spectre is not on this Wikipedia page.
It's something like that. I have to internet. I just plugged in my phone. It's done. I can't use the internet now.
It's over. It's the internet's over. Next piece of news. Control DLC, AWE. Some people are calling it the Alan Wake Experience. The reason why this is news is because it's part of their shared universe, meaning that Alan Wake is in the same universe as Control, as well as their other games.
Now,
they also stated that they're working on another new game that will continue in the shared universe.
So I think we talked about it, it was last week, right? How what Quantum Break is then included. And Max Payne does not qualify anymore because they lost the rights to it, right? Because I would love to see Max Payne just, like, bust out in bullet time and shoot everyone dead.
Man. All right. Yeah, if the bad guy was just Acer, that'd be great.
I still own Quantum Break. I want to play that.
All right, you give me that.
It's not bad?
Yeah, it's not bad. It's fine. It's not great, but it's not bad.
Is that the one with Ellen Page?
No.
No, that's Beyond Two Souls.
And that's not these guys?
No.
No.
That is Quantic Dream.
Oh, okay. Quantum Break is the police officers that can bend time?
Yes. And it has the television show, the episodes of the TV show between acts of the game. Yes.
Yeah, but that's like their style, or at least it is up until a point, because Max Payne had the comic panels in between chapters, and even the TV that was in Alan Wake, that was super weird. I love that game. Go back and play.
Getty just played it. He played it this year.
Yeah, so good.
Did he get all the thermoses?
No. Is it even possible to get all the thermoses? Can you do it? I was checking online, and you cannot get all of the pages of the manuscript unless you do the hard mode playthrough. So is it the same for the thermoses, do you know?
I actually have no idea.
Okay.
I've never tried.
Getty's a completionist.
I like to finish things.
To kind of go along with this, I'm going to skip one piece of news and go into the next one. Sam Fisher is coming to Rainbow Six Siege as an operator, which that's a cool pull. Like, Rainbow Six Siege is so big with the amount of operators they have with different abilities. We need to just start throwing in some randoms in there. You just said it, Getty. get Max Payne in Rainbow Six.
I didn't say in Rainbow Six, but if... All right, so you're going to have Fisher in there. Is he going to have his stealth suit then? Or is that his operator ability?
That's what I would imagine.
Okay.
But the thing is, though, is that they already kind of have that ability somewhere in the game with one of their operators. This game is cool, man. I like Rainbow Six Siege. I just wish I was good at it. I am not good at Rainbow Six Siege.
It's a good game. I do feel bad for just the long time waiting Splinter Cell fans, though. Mm-hmm. They're just like, oh, there's Sam Fisher. Oh, he's in Siege.
Well, he was also, to go along with that, he was in, what was it, the other Rainbow Six game where you're like in Africa driving around that was more recently. They came out with a sequel.
Wildlands?
Wildlands?
Yes, Sam Fisher gave you missions in Wildlands.
There was one of the ones that I played more recently where you can find Sam Fisher's stealth suit. What was I playing?
Far Cry?
Was that in Far Cry?
He was somewhere in one of those games.
Yes, it was. It was Far Cry New Dawn. You could find, where they're... I can't remember which one of the Splinter Cell games it was, but they have, a giant plane that they take from place to place as you do the missions, and you can find the downed plane and go in and claim his suit. Is really cool.
That's interesting. Yeah, and he's going to show up in that whatever it's called, Elite Squad, the iOS Android game that's coming out.
The cartoony one?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cartoony one.
Okay, so again, just to reach out to this again, I know I'm pulling up my phone here. Breaking news, Brian Lee O'Malley, creator of Scott Pilgrim, has stated via Twitter, P.S. Ubisoft has reached out to me.
Ooh.
Huh.
You think that means another Scott Pilgrim game?
Well, at least a re-release, because they took that game down off of everything.
Oh, yeah, they totally did.
Mm-hmm. It's disappeared, and people have found it delisted off of every site they can find, so they're just wondering, they're taking it all down to re-release?
Could be.
That game would be excellent on Switch.
Yep. You're telling me. So that is one piece of breaking news, is that Ubisoft might be trying to re-release
Breaking News
the world. Yep. Okay, I already mentioned Tony Hawk burrito at Chipotle. So.
But did you get one? Did you at least try it?
No.
When is it being taken off the menu?
I think it's August.
This is August.
Yeah, until the end of August. So,
just when they run out of guacamole and chicken?
They'll never run out of guacamole. Here we go. Tony Hawk burrito. Let's see here. Boring, boring, boring. While I'm looking this up, Getty, Kill It With Fire goes 1.0 today.
It's true. And I played two whole missions. I killed so many spiders.
Yes, a lot of spiders.
Yeah. I'm really excited for this. I don't know why this is in the news segment, but...
It's because I've kind of started taking it as a practice that when we talk about something in one of our beta discussions, I'd like to at least acknowledge when they go 1.0 so people can be like, oh, that game you were talking about is now
live. Go buy it right now. I bought it weeks ago.
Kill It With Fire. What was the price point on that bad boy?
It doesn't matter. I bought it weeks ago. I forgot. It's got to be like 10, 15 bucks. Steam has it where you can actually see it. It's not the eShop where it's lost forever.
It says U.S. dollars, $13.49.
Yeah, totally worth it. If you want to take your can of hairspray and run around and set stuff on fire. I definitely used a shotgun to kill two spiders earlier. I got some C4. I can't wait to use that to kill them. I think they added more stuff.
This is C4 in your house?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right, sure.
That's what makes the game ridiculous, is that you start throwing ninja stars around and lighting everything on fire. That's one of the easy ways to kind of go about it, was hairspray and just lighting everything on fire.
I see that they added Molotov cocktails. So, yeah.
Good, good, good. Jeez.
Pick up one of those and throw it into your kitchen. You're good to go.
Then Sam Fisher pops out.
You find the Sam Fisher goggles.
It looks like they might have added like a rocket launcher. Oh my god. I need to be playing this right now.
Okay, well, let's take a break so that you can go play it and Alex can be alone with the news. I think you're the first person to really seduce the news. That's hot. Okay, let's be right back. And we're back. Back with the Backlog Vlog, where we play games, and then we play games. Mm. You said sexy voice. I'm saying it in the Master Chief voice.
Master Chef.
Master
yeah,
Chef.
Because
Mr. Chef.
No, you called him Master Chef while we were in college. It was always, oh, hey, what are you playing? Oh, Halo? Who's this guy, Master Chef?
It's Master Chef. It's Mr. Chef. Master Chef was his dad.
It's so bad.
I'm playing Halo Combat Evolved.
Halo 1.
It's fine.
Yeah. Halo 1.
I know Getty's played it. Alex, have you played Halo?
Sure, yeah. Back in, like, what, 2004 or something?
Yeah.
Okay. On PC.
I have a lot of big gaping holes in my history of gaming. And, like, I never one of the ones I wanted to play is Half-Life. I've never played any of the Half-Lives. And we did Gears. I'd never played a Gears. I played Gears 1. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm trying to do Halo 1 because I've never played a Halo. A lot of these games I'm to understand are more fun with friends. I don't have friends. Halo's only okay.
This is true.
He doesn't have friends.
It's
also tough. Yeah, rough. But also, the first game in each of those series is also not the best one.
Yeah.
Like, very much like if you were playing Assassin's Creed, the first one isn't the best one. It sets the stage, but yeah, it's definitely not the greatest.
Halo
See,
2.
I liked Assassin's Creed 1.
The podcast just ended. But a lot of, it's over. That's where we ended.
Well, okay. The reason why I like it is because now every Assassin's Creed, they all do the famous spots. Oh, you got to go to Greece. You got to go to Rome. You got to go to London. I liked being in Jerusalem. Let's be somewhere I don't know. Let's be someplace I've never heard of that. Well, I've heard of Jerusalem, but there was other parts of that country that were definitely something I'd never heard of or ever seen in picture books.
Sure.
Picture books.
Yeah.
But...
And Altair was an interesting dude, so totally fair.
Now, with Halo, it's a shooter, and it's a very straightforward shooter.
What?
You're just going down and killing these... What they might as well be space goblins.
They're basically space goblins. And there's...
They just kind of yell in high-pitched voices, and then occasionally some are green and some are purple?
There's a couple of different... of the alien races that are coming to take you out. Man, I really feel like I haven't played a Halo in forever.
Is Cortana always the one that's just kind of telling you what
yeah.
to do?
Yeah, pretty much. And in Halo 1, is it a skull that you have to make them explode into confetti?
Is that a thing?
Yeah, for the grunts, the little high-pitched squealy boys, yes, I think uh-huh. there's a way to just get them to explode into confetti and, like, fireworks and stuff.
Ooh, I gotta look this up. I gotta see if there's a way, how do we do that? See, because I'm down with that. The game plays itself very, very kind of very serious.
I assume
that there is some, I mean, that's where, like, Red versus Blue came from, right?
But...
Yep.
This game is serious. It's the same way that Gears was very serious back in the day.
But that's why Red versus Blue exists, right? To make some sort of comedy out of this very, very serious situation, which doesn't seem
maybe,
serious.
Or some guys just wanted to... They saw it as a way to make comedy. Because there's really not much that Master Chief says. So the idea of these other Spartans that are really bad at their job, it was funny back then. Is it good to go back and watch it? No. And you shouldn't. Like, okay. I don't know. Alex, you any Alex. You guys remember watching it, right? You can't go back and watch it anymore. Like, there's so many things wrong with the stuff that they said at this point. Like, it was a different time, guys.
It's like an Ace Ventura movie.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I haven't tried an Ace Ventura movie. Can you not go back to those?
And do not hold up very well.
No.
No. Austin Powers surprisingly holds up by the second movie because he has learned the error of his ways and he's trying to grow as a person. So there's a woman who's constantly hitting on him and he's like, no, I want to know about your brain and who you are and your personality and not hit on you vulgarly. So that one does kind of hit a nice growing point.
I do love how this went from Halo Combat Evolved to Austin Powers 2 specifically.
This is a perfectly natural progression.
Yeah. But so you never played the original when it was a thing? Like even just like straight up just multiplayer, just sitting in a college dorm, two people in an Xbox and pew pew pew?
I did. He's never done that. No.
I got real deep into World of Warcraft during college and that pretty much took over everything.
Yeah.
Reasonable.
So with this return into the Haloverse and trying to explore it as a newcomer, I will say that this game comes with a very quick, you hit the select button and it goes back to original graphics. I appreciate that. I like to see where the game came from. I like to see the differences. And I think that the improvements were smart because there's whole sections of that game that are supposed to, you're supposed to use a flashlight because it gets dark, like really dark, to the point that you really can't do a lot in it because it's so dark. But maybe that's to show off the lighting effects for the original.
That was huge.
Okay.
When it was first released, okay, the lighting was like one of the big selling points. Like, check this out. Look at the way that the fire interacts with the environment. It was, yeah, lighting was really big part of what they were selling.
Okay, see, that makes sense now because the remaster has made the flashlight completely useless.
That's good to know.
Because everything is bright, everything is colorful, everything is nice. It looks nice, it acts nice, it looks like a good game. The updates they've done have been smart because I have gone back and forth toggling and trying to play in the dark areas and it's just a pain. It's just a pain. And I guess I'm having a little bit of problems following the story to a certain extent because it seems like I'm just being ushered from place to place. Like they're like, hop in this plane and they drop you off. Okay, go fight those guys. We're going to pick you up on that plane. Okay, pick you up on the plane. Next place.
Yeah.
That and your character doesn't, you were just de-thawed, right? You were like an ice block and they de-thawed you. And then all of a sudden they're like, here's a gun. Go.
Yeah, basically.
You're Spartan.
And that means?
Same thing that being an assassin in Assassin's Creed does. Nothing. It just gives you your title.
I feel like that's not true, but I don't have the wherewithal to argue.
Can you prove it?
Mm-mm. It just, what makes you different than all the other Spartans?
I don't know that there are many left at that point. I think that you're it, really. Are there any others?
Does the game get into that?
Yeah, you're Master Chef.
No, but does it?
I think it does.
Mr. Chef to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like when you get into the Fall of Reach stuff or Halo Reach, it does kind of get into that, but maybe not okay. The first game.
It's. I'm just. These are the questions I'm at. I have as meeting this as a new series to me, and that's kind of why I'm like, oh, okay. Does it get into that? Does it explain? Because I feel like they should explain that relatively early in my head. Or at least in this game, they should explain it. But I mean, I guess that's the difference. I guess, you know, you'll get those explanations in modern games and back in the day you weren't. I mean, obviously, Getty, you told me that you don't find out anything about the characters from Gears of War till Gears, what, 3 or 4?
2. Yeah, they give them more backstory and personality. Dom is a human in that game. He has a lot that goes on in his life.
So that's kind of why I guess I'm going to say that that's a fault of the time, is that I'm just, I guess I'm learning that the game is just, it's that that's what the time frame was, this type of game it was. Which obviously, like, I know, I started a little bit of Half-Life as well, and that game just talks at you. But that'll be another time.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Now, to keep going with the retro aspect here, Alex, you brought to us, you're playing Minecraft.
Wait, is that retro at this point? Oh, no.
The silence is because we're all...
Yeah.
I
don't know.
I think I might have played it back in, like, 2010. That's, like, 10 years ago. Does that make it retro?
I played it at the end of the PS3's life cycle.
That's retro.
Oh, no. Minecraft is a retro game? Oh.
It's, like, 10 years anyway. Old. I think it's right on the cusp there.
Oh, does 10 geez. Years old make something retro? Is Demon Souls and Dark Souls retro?
Yeah, oh, I feel like it is at this point because everybody's made their own version of those games.
That just broke me. I'm
pulling the other podcast people. Continue.
I started playing Minecraft again because, specifically vanilla Minecraft. Because, I don't know, a handful of years ago, I played on a server that had, like, a bunch of mods. And at some point, it's not even Minecraft anymore. A group of friends and I played a bunch of Terraria because that came out, like, that hit its final release, its final update, you know, ship it. It's in a box. This is Terraria. And that we finished it, basically, like, we went through all the hard mode stuff and got to the biggest bosses and all that. And we're like, you know, how's Minecraft? We haven't touched Minecraft in years. How is that? Just like the base experience, not worrying about mods, not worrying about making it cool, adding texture packs that add like the RTX ray trace lighting and all that kind of crap. No, just Minecraft. So set up a server, just been going through it. And there's a lot of quality of life differences in modern retro Minecraft. Like, when I first played it, or at least when they first added the adventure mode, like I first played it, it was still 100% creative. But when they first add the adventure mode, like crafting was something, the cool thing about it was kind of a discovery thing. Like you open that menu and like, what can I make? And you're like, okay, I'm going to put these pieces of wood together. Oh, I got sticks. What can I make with sticks? And like, oh, I need this workbench and all that kind of stuff. And like, yes, you could go to the internet. You could like look up recipes and be like, oh, I got these woods, these stones, these whatevers. What can I make with this? Can I make this? Nope. I need, obsidian. At that point, I don't know if there was obsidian, but like you would look at something and be like, I don't have that. I also don't know what that is. So, whereas now it's actually pretty streamlined. Like you open your inventory and you have a recipe book basically where you can, like it'll say like, oh, these are the things you have. Like you can make these with them on the workbench. You can just click that and it'll make it. Like you don't have to put the shape of a pickaxe or whatever. You can just make it, which is kind of cool, I guess. And then it'll say like, oh, you have these things. If you get this other thing, you can build that. So all that's like that kind of quality of life stuff is just in the game now, which is really cool. And there's a lot more to it, obviously, but they have the Nether, which I think that's the last time I played it. There's also the End. I don't know if either of you guys ever got to the End.
No,
not without cheating. Like you having creative mode where you have everything.
Totally.
Kind of, you know, being able to build the portal. Yep. You have to use the portal, right?
Yeah, you have to use a portal and like Nether eyes and stuff like that. I can't remember exactly, but because I also did
Enderman creative. Eyes.
Yeah, Enderman eyes. That's the one. Minecraft is good. I don't know. I don't know if that's a hot take by any means, but Minecraft continues to be good, and it seems like they've done a good job updating it and keeping it relatively modern.
Okay. I like Minecraft a lot, and I like what it brings, and I like what it does, because I have played it a handful of times, I only say a handful because it obviously hasn't been that many times, but for me, I kind of had an experience with Minecraft that stuck with me. Mm-hmm. So, me and my partner were playing Minecraft. I think we started at 9 o'clock at night. We had dinner, we had a couple drinks, and we start like, I'm going to show you Minecraft. Let's try and learn Minecraft. And we start Minecraft And we're like, okay, so if you dig here, you get this stuff, and then you can make something. You blink, and it was 3:34 in the morning,
yep.
And we were building our third story. She had built her porch with a built-in garden, and we had a waterfall on one side, lava fall on the other, and it was floating midair. And we had built this entire thing, and it was this we look up and be like, it is 4 in the morning. We need to go to sleep. We've been playing this game for like 7 hours. And that's where I was like, Minecraft is real good. I like this game, but we just never really touched it after that. But
I can relate to
that. It's just one of those games that you can just lose yourself in that world. I think Joel and his partner too, I brought it to their house and was like, you guys are going to play Minecraft. I want to show you what this game is like. They're like, okay, we had a couple of drinks. And again, they're just like, by the end, they had built this like fortress, and they were trying to figure out how to make a bridge and all this stuff. And they're like, yeah, this is pretty cool. Like, you could just lose into finding out, well, I gotta, your imagination runs, you know, rampant, right?
Yeah. It's Lego. It's infinite Lego.
Yeah. You know, I think at one point we were trying to figure out how to build a glass tunnel down and to make an underground glass prism so that we could see the sea life. And there's ways to do that, right? Like, you have to like put sand or put ground, and then it'll take up where the water space. There's a lot of Minecraft.
There is.
Have you ever beaten Minecraft?
Yes. I have seen the credits to Minecraft.
Wow. That's a lot of dedication to kind of find a way to build the portal and find all the ender eye, right? The Enderman, you get the eyes from the Enderman.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's cool. I don't know. Again, Minecraft. Good. It's good. In 2020. It's still good.
Okay. Just making sure.
It's a warm blanket.
That's kind of what I'm getting out of Dragon Quest Builders 2 right now. Like it
totally
just starts off really innocuously, and then an hour later, somehow I'm building a gigantic tree, and I'm not sure. And I'm like, oh my god, there's not enough leaves on it. I think, did you dip in on the last session that I had on Monday, Alex?
I only saw it a little bit.
Okay, because one of the things that I'm not like totally sold on is the battle mechanic, but when you start building like that's where it's at. There's just something about stacking a bunch of bricks and like, oh, I'm going to build a house. Like, I can do some really stupid stuff with the items it gives me. It gets me real jacked.
Until you build a penis.
No.
Really? I like how you have a mellow Monday stream of you building in Dragon Quest, and I just go in there and yell.
Yeah.
I go in your chat and be like, Getty! Getty, I'm more mellow than you!
All right.
I'm more mellower than you! I apologize, Getty, for all
it's
my
too late. It's already happened.
Several times.
Yeah.
Well, that was the Backlog Blog, and let's build a bridge to the next segment. Next segment, guest spotlight. We got Alex G from Gaming Fix.
Oh, what?
Where Getty wants to know, what's it like knowing both Pat and Andre beat you onto the podcast?
Oh, those knuckleheads? Dang. Wow.
We got the A-plus tier rank guest here today.
Oh, boo. No, it's all S-tier across the board, baby.
Ooh.
Same with S-tier. Y'all. We've had all three of y'all on our cast, too. But... That's no, it's good. It just means you've now had half of us on the cast, and now you just got to get the other half. You just got to get...
You guys have a deep roster.
Yeah, isn't it more than six people, right? You have, like, another, like, hidden person that you have to defeat all the other members to get to?
Yes. So there's the three you've had on, including myself. Now you need to get Erica, Allison, Sam, and then the hidden boss character.
Okay, which is just Andre, but he's wearing a suit.
No, it's Andre, but he took his shirt off, which happened during our 2018 Game of the Year podcast.
That's so good.
That's really good. So you guys are all, like I mentioned earlier, you guys have kind of an international group here. Where are you from?
I am in Western Canada, specifically on Vancouver Island.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and how is the weather up in Canada nowadays?
Y'all, wonderful. I was going to say it in Celsius because I know that's the unit we use, but what is it? Like, it's like 75 Fahrenheit, rather. It's beautiful.
Yeah, we use a stupid Fahrenheit, and was it the metric? You guys have metric, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Going in kilometers all day.
I'm told that we're real stupid about not using
that. Yeah, it is stupid.
Yeah, no, if you've never been to Vancouver or Vancouver Island, it's totally worth it, especially if you like hiking and you enjoy just doing outdoorsy stuff in general. We got natural rainforests here and stuff like that, and also mountains, so.
Okay, do you like a lot of nature?
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah. Despite the fact that we're on a video game podcast and talk a lot about anime and stuff like that on ours, going for hikes almost every weekend.
Wow, that's good. That's good. What are you playing currently?
I got a couple things on the go for the next cast. But now I can't remember their dang names.
He's not allowed to bring them up anyway. You have to listen to next episode to hear what he's playing.
Well, I wanted a preview, Getty. Shut up.
It's not allowed.
Give me one second. I'm going to open my Steam library so I can double check, because I actually have to play it tomorrow. I did finish Frog Fractions with a Hat.
Okay.
That's something. Roki is installed and Into a Dream.
I've heard of it, Into a Dream. Okay. I'm looking forward to putting that on my wish list after I listen to you guys talk about it.
Maybe. We'll see. There's also a lot of things that we very much dunk on, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, that is true. That is true. So, with the Gaming Fix, you guys have been going, what, it sounds like three or four years?
Three-ish years, yeah. And it started as like an experiment, like a social experiment gone wrong, or maybe not gone wrong, depending how you see it.
To be fair, that's also how I met you guys, actually, now that I remember it. I couldn't remember how I had found you guys, but you guys found each other via the Giant Bomb Facebook group.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure that's how I found you guys as well. I think there was like a, hey, post what you guys are doing. And I found that you guys had a podcast. And I was like, okay.
I think I remember it differently, Alex. I think I remember what happened was there was a weekly Reddit podcast, r/podcast thing. That's like, here's the weekly thing. Submit your thing for the podcast of the week or the podcast of the day. And I found y'all, and I was like, let's give it a listen. And I was like, hey, these guys are badass.
See, so there's multiple paths of us meeting in several different occasions.
Yeah. It's like, that's how the Avengers game should be. Approach it from different angles, but you get to the same place. Boom.
Hey, I'm trying to get you guys on our Extra Life team, which we just started. And as it's coming down to it, it's becoming our podcast super friends.
Hey, that sounds like fun. I know most of us have done Extra Life and probably will continue to do Extra Life. So, yeah,
it's a lot of fun. We're just we're trying to figure out the logistics right now.
He wants us all to get into a tiny room and sit on top of each other for 24 hours. And the rest of us are concerned about contracting whatever diseases he might have.
I'm completely clean of COVID. It's all the rest of the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it depends if you're going to invite the news or not.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have been playing those games, and you've been working with Gaming Fix. You guys record on Saturday mornings. Do you guys do any kind of other bonus stuff with Gaming Fix?
Yeah, there's a bunch of YouTube videos that we do. The website hosts a bunch of reviews, articles, stuff like that. And we recently got added to OpenCritic. So it's almost like our opinions on reviews matter. Also, with that in mind, Eric, you are now posted on OpenCritic.
Oh, God. Oh, is that because of the sexy schoolgirl thing? Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
The review you did?
So that now has you on OpenCritic.com.
Woo!
That's the one game you have associated with you.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
OpenCritic is the website that allows you What does OpenCritic do?
It's like Metacritic, but it doesn't have review bombing, and it's also much more curated for who is able to kind of do stuff. And it's pretty much 100% video game focused.
You know what? Okay. That's what I wanted to talk about like 6 weeks ago with the news. Ghosts of, was it Tsushima or whatever?
Tsushima.
Metacritic didn't allow reviewing of it for like an extra 2 weeks. They were like, hey, why don't you go play the game and then you can review bomb it. And it cut down on the amount of negative reviews because people forgot to go back and complain. I think that they should do that for pretty much everything. People need to calm down, but I have been like, I remember wanting to say that for weeks now, and Alex G here, like, now I remembered. Thank you.
Got you covered, fam.
Thank you.
But I mean, that's a good idea, though. They should just kind of calm it down, at least especially with
Metacritic. People go in there and they review something that they never even played. They just do it to neg. They do it to neg.
That's true. Now, Alex, I did want to ask, do we see your streaming face anywhere?
No. I have zero social media presence and zero streaming presence for the most part, so.
Is that by design?
Yeah. I don't have Facebook, don't have Twitter, don't have any of that, so.
We should get you, you have such a calming voice. I think that you would work well as a streamer.
Just pure ASMR streams. Just reading the news 24/7.
Oh, God. With that, let's move on to one last thing. One last thing where we give one last sentence, one last statement, sending us into the weekend and you, the listener, into the weekday. For me, I've been playing Skater XL trying to get all those challenges. Turns out for me, the challenge was not breaking my 360 controller.
Nice.
All right, other Alex?
Hey, when it comes back, everybody should be playing Blazeball.
Ooh. Oh. I'm gonna bring that up in a second. Getty?
I'm going to finish Paper Mario Origami King this weekend. And then I'm going to start in on Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp Double XL, whatever it's called.
Feh. Oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, feh. That's what it is.
I wanted that game too. Alex, how's your Blazeball team?
The Moist Talkers? They're talking moistly, my man. They're doing well.
The season's over. Where did they get?
They made it to playoffs. I think they were out in the semifinals, though.
When's the next season start?
Like a week and a half, 2 weeks. The team is taking a break.
Just like you guys, every time I'm getting in on this season of Blazeball. I'm getting in on it.
You got it. It's so good.
I'm into it. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that because I was like, damn it, you guys got me in a Blazeball and now I'm in. Okay. And that will be it for this week's Super GG Radio. Before we go, you can find us on Twitter at Super GG Radio and twitch.tv/SuperGGRadio, where we are streaming every single day of the week except for Thursdays and just Thursdays. It's just Thursdays. Every day we have...
What are you talking about? Kevin's streaming right now.
No, he's not, because that's been moved to Wednesdays.
Then why is he playing Metal Gear right now?
Oh, no. Yeah, he's not streaming. He got really into Metal Gear, like, in a real, like, normally Metal Gear, but he got into, like, the side missions.
No.
I think he might 100% that game.
No.
So all the story stuff is saved for the stream for Metal Gear Solid 5, but all of the side content, he's been going for, like, I want to say, like, 6
It's not good. Is he trying to decommission the world from nukes?
I don't know if he's gotten that far yet. I haven't brought that up. I didn't want to ruin that for him.
Well, we're safe because you know he doesn't listen to the podcast.
He just started catching up. He's like 6 episodes.
He's gonna run into where I neg him so hard.
He already mentioned that once. He mentioned it once. You've negged him like 3 times. Now, if you'd like to reach us with questions or input, our email address is superggradio@gmail.com. Provide a review on iTunes or the Blazeball app of your choice. Alex.
Hey.
What is the name of your podcast?
It is The Gaming Fix. You can find us at fix.space or Twitter at fixpodcast.
That's Fix FYX.
Yes.
Some of our closest podcast friends. Thanks for listening. GG, Alex.
GG.
GG, Getty.
Good game.
Good night, everybody.
How blue you guys play things here, because I like the top response of PS Ubisoft has reached out to me. Top response, this gets me Ubi hard. from Edgar Wright.